Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jordy Jorgensen. And today's guest is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Insurance Agencies. Chad, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning.
As you know, we've done a whole series of podcasts about various insurance issues for business owners. And in every one of those podcasts, I've been begging you, find me an underwriter. Find me that guy that sits in the back room with the eye shades and the smoke, and he's got his calculator going, and he's going to decide how much is this underwriter going to charge my business based on the risk that he sees in my business. And today, you finally found one strong enough to come visit us. Ed Chabot is with us today. Ed, how did you become an underwriter, and what is an underwriter?
Well, people don't usually grow up trying to become an underwriter. You end up in the insurance industry just by chance.
So you started out as an actuary, and then you became an underwriter?
Actually, no. I started out on the sales side of things. I worked at an agency in Minneapolis and moved up to a larger agency, and then somebody from the company side saw me and thought, boy, there's a talent, and pulled me on in, and I've been on the company side now for about 7 years.
And all 7 years as an underwriter?
In varying roles, sometimes out in the field, working with the agents directly, but all the time having underwriting experience as well.
Can you tell me, what is an underwriter supposed to do for the insurance company?
An underwriter is supposed to take in all the facts and all the actuarial information on an account, all the strategic numbers that go into play, and then couple that with the risk itself, the inherent risks that the insured would have, and base a premium, pull out this magical premium based off all that information, and hopefully that's the number that works.
So Chad brings you his
he's laying it wide open, Tom.
I'm trying to calculate that in my abacus here, and it's not working for me.
Yeah, what he's telling you, Tom, is that he basically has to make sure that the agent's telling the truth.
Yes.
Ooh,
that's a big part of it.
That's a big job, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of the agents, present agents included, you have to have that trust, and you just, that's part of it. And every once in a while, something slips through the cracks, and you got to take care of those situations, too.
Well, the theme that's come through in all of these podcasts and all of the interviews we've done with Chad is that if a business owner works with a good insurance agency and they're interested in controlling their premiums, there's some things that are going to make a difference to you when you're assessing the risk of the particular policy.
Correct.
Now, is that true, or are you just going to sit in the corner and charge them as much as you can?
No. There's so many factors that go into what a risk, where the pricing's going to go. There's hundreds of, I always pick out bakeries. You have all different types of bakeries, but, do you have a bakery where there's a propensity where somebody has been hurt many times? Do you have a situation where they don't have a safety program in place?
Claims history enters into your...
Claims history is a big factor, too.
Safety programs?
Safety programs, if there's a return to work program in place. How long they've been in business? Is it a new startup?
Return to work now. When we're talking about workers' compensation, if someone was injured, if there's a program in place to get them back to
Correct.
Work as quickly as possible.
Get them back into the flow of things, even if they're not doing what they used to do, some sort of light duty work, and learn to get them back into the workforce. That's a huge plus. But there's so many different factors. Length of time in business, turnover of staff. If it can get as minute as, do they have safety pads in place when the workers are working, so there's so less slip and fall claims. So there's a lot of nuances to the risk.
What would lifetime in business be?
Well, you see a risk if you have a person that's owned bakery. I'm going to keep picking on bakeries. That's owned bakeries for their entire life. Then, if they have 20 years experience in bakeries, they know the inherent risks that come with that, as opposed to a guy that says, hey, I'm going to buy a bakery and start up new. And that person may not know all the propensities to claims of what could happen with that type of risk.
Mm-hmm. How do you find out their experience? How do you find out how they're organized? How do you find out what they have?
You trust your agents to be able to provide that information for you. And I work for a company where in the past we had quite a few agencies, and now we've developed relationships with more select agents out there where we have that relationship. Just as the insured has a relationship with the agent, we in turn have the relationship with the agent. So we know what they're giving us is factual, and it's not so much just numbers and words on a piece of paper.
Chad, let's walk through an example here. Let's say you've got a manufacturing widgets. They've been in business 10 years. What are you going to find out from the business owner, and how are you going to communicate with Ed?
Well, as Ed was talking about before, our relationship was with the client, and our responsibility is to work with that client and then make them informed as to what exposures they have. When we sit down with them right off the bat, we're going to ask the questions that we know our good friend the underwriter is going to want the answers to. First of all, what's your claim experience been? How long have you been in business? If you have a claim history and we're reviewing that, what have you done to prevent that from happening in the future? You know, you've got slip and falls that are happening in. Is the management's attitude, we don't care and such is life, that's why we buy insurance? Or, I know we've got an issue with this and here's what we've done to stop that from happening. You know, we want to sit and get the educated, you want to educate the client as much as possible. As we talked about before in these other podcasts, there's things that you can do to make the underwriter feel better about your account. And the better he feels about your account, the more that's going to help you. As the market churns, that may not necessarily be price. It might be the fact that you get better coverages. It might be the fact that you can find coverage in a environment that's difficult. If you're a manufacturer and you got a heavy product exposure, carriers are going to be selective about that particular type of business. So to get yourself to the top of that pile, they want to make sure that you've got a firm handle on what it is you do and you understand loss prevention is important. Then what they'll do is say, okay, this is something that although we normally may not write this, or this might be a bit of a stretch because they have a very good understanding of the business and we know what can happen with this, we'll take a chance on this one because everything in insurance is a calculated guess. So the better the information that they have, the more likely it is that they're going to price it appropriately or they're going to be able to find that coverage for you.
Okay, so if you get a new client, let's go back to that example. Been in manufacturing for 10 years. They need some liability insurance. They need some errors and omissions insurance. They need some product liability insurance, the whole package. You sit down with the business owner and assess where they are and what they're doing. How much do you learn about the business, and how much of that do you tell Ed when you bring in that application?
We're going to tell him, well, we talked about this before in some of the prior shows. What we're going to do is... We want that client to open up and tell us everything that's going on with their business, what they plan on doing in 5 years, what they're currently doing right now, who their vendors are. And then from there, what we will do is if there's some information that, you know, say they've had some issues and they haven't implemented a loss control program, we'll say, look, before we even begin with this, you're going to have this in place, and here's what it's for. Are you willing to do this, yes or no? If they don't have one that's currently in place, but they have one that's been structured and they're going to implement it in 30 days, that's information we're going to quickly tell the underwriter, look, they've found religion on this particular situation. They know that they can't do this and have this type of attitude. They need to make it stop. They've got something in place. They're not doing it right now, but they will have it in 30 days. We would tell that to the underwriter. We'd never hold anything back because if you're holding something back, like we talked about before, on the client side, they're going to discover it through a visit or a phone call. And that is not a good position to be in because the first thing they're going to say is, wait a minute, you told us in the application that they had this in place. They're not doing it. Now the attitude of that underwriter back to the client is, you know, once bitten, twice shy, I'm going to do what I can to get off of the account. Or I'm going to pass on the next account that the agent sends in because I can't trust him anymore. Everything in our business is relationship. And everything with that client, like we've talked about, is there are some things that you can do to control your costs. But it's important for you to open up. Don't hold back. Tell everything that you're going to be doing. Tell everything you plan on doing. And then it's the agent's responsibility to find the best underwriter out there that's going to be able to write your account with both the products and the price that you're looking for.
Now, Ed, based on what he just said there, that was a whole mouthful, but Chad does that to us.
Yes.
If I'm the underwriter, it's a good thing I wasn't an underwriter, because if I'm the underwriter, I'm going to say, I just want to know what it is and what it has been, and I'm going to say, promises, promises, promises. I'm going to rate this based on history, not based on what you're promising me to do that you're going to do next week.
Well, as we were talking about before, I was born and raised in New York, so I'm always a bit of a pessimist when it comes to, you know, when risks are presented to me, and that's why it's good to have relationships with agents like Chad. He's a good guy, and I'm a real.
Did you hear that, Tom?
He is. How much did you pay for that, Chad? Yeah,
I'll spot you afterwards.
Yeah, he's taking
I'm
out
a little
lunch.
Shy right now.
No, it's I'm also I spend time on the agency side of things too, so I know what it works from both sides of the fence. So I'm one of those. There's not many of us where we've been on both sides. It seems like you're either one or the other most of the time, and a lot of times I just kind of go off a feel, you know. I'll take a drive past the risk if it's local enough, or if I'm feeling the need to just, because you never know what you're going to find sometimes. And if you just don't have that good feel about it, you just go out there and take a look at it, or you know, look up websites are far and away the best and worst thing to happen to underwriters in the last 15 years.
Because, why?
Well, because you may have an agent that tell you, oh, this is a family-style restaurant, there's nothing wrong here. And then you pull up the website, and there's people in short shorts doing, you know, upside-down margaritas for people on the bar stools. And, you know, it's like, well, that's not the kind of place I take my family to.
I mean, Chad had too many margaritas before he wrote the policy.
Exactly. You know, that's, and, you know, the of course, I bring it up totally hypothetically. That never happened, but, you know, it's...
So, as an underwriter, do you give Chad suggestions on how your risk can be minimized, and how that business owner can implement policies and
Absolutely.
Things so that you can charge them less next year?
We're real big proponents of loss control and consulting. We have, without giving too much away, there's a way on our system when you quote us up that we can actually, based upon the class of business that they have, print out a report showing what the highest propensity of the loss could be for that insured. So it helps Chad go out and not just become a guy who's selling insurance anymore. He's now a broker. He's helping somebody. He's a consultant helping somebody with the insurance side of things. And we want to write as much as we can. And if we don't have claims, that's, you know, the best of both worlds. But like Chad said, you're going to run into claims from time to time, and you do your best to try to limit those and be proactive instead of reactive.
So you not only look at the claims history and the organization of the proposed insured, but you take a look at the industry and the overall claims that your experience have been.
Absolutely.
So that you're not rating it just on one, but you're rating it based on an industry as well.
Correct. And there's some risks that are inherent to some specific types of industries. Grocery stores, you see a lot of slip and falls where people walk in and step on the grape, and you know that's why a lot of times in grocery stores now you'll see the rubber tracking around the produce department, because insurance companies got wise and saw the trends and said, hey, you probably need to do something about this. You know, there's inherent risks involved with specific classes, and you try to do your best to try to limit those any way you can.
So are you proactive in this? If you see something that can be improved, are there loss control people within your company that can help Chad to go out
Absolutely.
And talk to the clients and put in preventative programs?
Whenever we get on a new account, we will send somebody out from loss control to go over the risk and print out a report showing what the do's and don'ts would be for that type of class, what they're doing wrong, you know, the ergonomic stations for clerical people to make sure that they're not going to get the carpal tunnel syndrome. All sorts of things. It's all documented, and it's pretty set based upon class. And it's, we've been, knock on wood, you know, things have been pretty good. We've had a pretty good last couple of years that we've been more proactive with those types of things.
It's got to help on the claims. I just think it has to help.
It does. It's not like it used to be in the old days where you get a risk and you have a rate wheel and you look at the rate and you say, okay, if it's a plumber, here's your price, off you go. And every plumber was the same. There's more. Back then, it was a lot more feel to it. Well, there's still the feel side of it, but there's a lot of numbers to back up what's going on as well, too.
You know, the business owners that they're out there, I've talked to thousands of them in my career, and if I sat down and told them that, you know, if they implement some of these programs, they're going to save some money, they're all going to say, oh, there's some underwriter there, I'm not going to save a dime. This isn't going to make any difference at all. Does it really make a difference?
It truly does. And, you know, each company's different in the way they do things. I like to think that I'm one of those underwriters and work for a company where they trust what their underwriters' decision makings are out there. There's a lot of companies out there where it's very black box, where if it fits, it fits. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Here's the price. Good luck to you, and off you go. Where with us, we're trying to massage things a little bit. If it makes sense, if it's maybe they've had some past history. You know, a lot of times a company, if you've had a fire, a total loss on a risk, you don't want to do it. Well, the way I look at it, well, now you got a brand new building and they know how not to have fires anymore. You know,
learn from the experience.
Exactly. You know, flood, the same thing. If you had a pipe burst, well, yeah, you had the water damage, but guess what? You got new pipes now, so you're probably a little bit better off than you were 2 months ago. So, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's just a it's a lot of it's gut, and that's that for me. And I don't know, maybe that's to my detriment sometimes, but it's worked so far. So.
Chad, to what Tom's saying, in working with Ed and with one of your clients that you've had for a few years, what have you seen over those years with him as the underwriter?
In their
policies, the payments, I mean.
And the ability to control the premium for the business owner. I mean, everything's more expensive today, and there's a lot of pressure on most business owners to not only increase sales and increase productivity, but control the expenses.
Well, one of the things we've seen most in the change in the industry is we've tried to explain to the clients the relationship that you have with the underwriter and the trust that underwriter is going to have in the business that you're bringing in. When we sit down and I send an account to him, Ed knows that I've been through this review process with him, and that if there's an issue, he knows I'm going to address it with the client. And if the client's not willing to address it, well, then unfortunately, we either are not going to write that account or the pricing on that account is going to change. You are starting to see more tiers in the structure. He mentioned before, you know, now even though things are becoming more sophisticated, we can massage these things. Well, when he talks about massaging it, there's credit structures that are available and implemented for having formal loss control, for having drug testing programs, the things that we had talked about before. And with insurance, we're not the necessary evil. You know, don't look at us as this place where, golly, you know, we have all this stuff and they never pay any claims, or I never have any claims and I pay all this money. Well, you know what? The things he talked about inside of a grocery store, what an insurance industry will do is help you with loss control so you don't have those claims, so people aren't injured. I mean, if you look at the final thing, somebody hasn't slipped. Somebody has not been hurt. That, to me, is a better environment. In workers' mm-hmm. compensation, the people that show up, the reason why we want you to implement these loss control places is that we want your employees to show up healthy, and we want them to leave healthy. You know, you shouldn't have to rely on your company to say, well, I've got comp. Well, that means somebody just got injured. You know, is that mm-hmm. really the best environment that you want to be in?
But, you know, these are all good things, and they all sound good, and they all make common sense. But what do you tell the business owner? For instance, my business, I've been paying for insurance for 25 years. I've never had a claim for anything, and it doesn't get cheaper. It just gets more expensive every year. I mean, I'm doubting this, and a lot of business owners are doubting. It makes sense, but convince me. I'm not sure you've got me convinced yet.
Well, jeepers, Tom, we're going to have to go off the radio here for a little bit.
You guys stay on that side, I guess. You stay on that side.
Now, there are pricing models, and I mean, if the industry needs to take an increase, I'm willing to bet that if you looked at your expenses right now and you took a look at your exposures versus your rate versus where it was even 10 years ago, you'll find that you are probably paying less. It's just that people don't like to pay insurance, period, because it's that intangible. It's a promise. It's something that, you know, they don't pay it, and then all of a sudden it comes in the door, so every year they feel that it's going up. The market itself has been soft, which means there's excess capital, which means there's competition and there's pricing. So the pricing has actually been down over the last few years. But to tell a person that, look, all I have to do is pay these premiums and it doesn't help me, there's nothing I can do about it, to that I would say, no, you're wrong. There are things that you can do about it. The smaller the business, obviously, the less relative it is to your premium. 10% of a minimum premium is not that effective. 10% of somebody paying $200,000 or $500,000, those are big numbers. And doing this loss control is going to cost you money. So you're asking a person to pay a premium and then to pay for some additional services sometimes, and then try to explain to them that by doing this, you're going to save yourself money. Well, that takes time. It takes, you know, you have to find somebody who has these issues. Usually it's not until after the claim, unfortunately, where they find, well, jeepers, now I better do something about this. Or the market churns, it firms up, there's less capital in there, underwriters, there's stricter underwriting guidelines, prices are starting to go through the roof, and you've got an account that's never had loss control, you know, so now you're starting to see your premiums in some circumstances go up 20, 30, 40%. If people can remember, if there's construction people that are listening, you remember the marketplace back in 98 and 99 when construction defect was going out, the people that didn't have things, that didn't have loss control in place, not only were their prices going up, but there were some people that just simply could not find insurance. So the ones that had things structured and were doing the right things were able to keep their pricing somewhat under control. I mean, the industry itself did take a bit of an increase, but at least they were able to find coverage and continue to operate.
Sam, we've got these two on their heels. I think we should hit them again. Chad, it all comes back to the first podcast we did for insurance for startups. You know, you sit down with a business owner, and it's all about assessing the potential liability exposures that are out there and asking the question, if the worst case happens, can you afford that? Can you still continue in business? And do you want to insure against that? Because if that happens, then it'll be covered and taken from your plate and covered by the insurance carrier, and you have the ability to carry on in your business. So when we go back to the first podcast we did, we were really talking about the right attitude for a business owner. Don't have any gaps. assess your liability exposures, learn how you can control your situation to the best extent possible so that the underwriter sitting in that dark room doesn't assess you with penalties and kick you out and not insure you and feels good about the risk. Isn't that what it all comes down to?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it goes back to that first podcast when we talk about, you know, telling your agent, sitting with your agent, spending some time and explaining to them exactly what it is that you're doing. And then the agent's responsibility on our end, one of the things we talked about is us being an independent agency. And what does that mean? We're not forced to the guidelines of one carrier. I have several, well, there's only one Ed, but I've got several underwriters that I do business with that if I know there's a particular account that they like, then, you know, I don't have to force him to take an account necessarily. I've got carriers that prefer certain types of business, some that just want retail, some that just want construction, some that want hospitality. Those underwriters are the ones I'm going to take those accounts to. So being an independent allows me that flexibility. Whereas a captive writer who has one carrier that they represent sometimes has to make things fit into a box that isn't the right size.
And the insurance companies from year to year can change the things that they want to write, isn't that true?
Yes, sir.
So that you've got to find out who wants to write the appropriate type of insurance this year and then try to put together the right company with the right client.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, in our particular agency that we've talked about, we've got people that have expertise in different lines. So you won't see a person try to be the jack of all trades and master of none. You know, we try to find and get an agent with a carrier that has an understanding of what that business is.
Yeah, and how important. The other thing we've talked about with Chad in all of these podcasts is gaps in coverage. Mm-hmm. And we talk about liability coverage. We talk about an executive umbrella. You talk about the product liability insurance. Talk about the auto coverage. And they're all kind of piled on. And you have to sit back and take a look and say, is there anything we didn't cover? Are there any gaps? Does that come into play when you're assessing it?
Usually, sadly, the only times those come into play is when the coverages are not in place.
When
they're not in place. Whenever there's a claim that arises when a coverage wasn't in place for something that a loss that took place for something that's not covered, it's the hard part of the job. But once again, that's why we depend on our agents, because they need to know the risk. I need to know the risk as far as pricing and how it fits within our pricing model and where we can come in that way, whereas the nuances and the gaps in coverage, that's kind of on the agent, and that's why we work with those agents that we have the relationship with, because we know if, you know, those agents we work with are going to do a good job in covering those types of gaps.
So do you feel better then when everything's neat and orderly? And
oh yeah. Yes, it's you know, when you see a submission from an agent, you know the good ones from the bad ones. You know who's doing their job, you know who knows the account, and you have a better sense of comfort with that. And the more information, like Chad said before, the better. And, you know, if there is a situation where there is a gap and you run into a problem where there maybe wasn't coverage in place, that's where you lean back on those relationships saying, hey, this is something that was overlooked. Can we fix this in the future? Can we do something for them going back? You know, it's all relationship based, and that's a big part of what we do.
As an underwriter, and you've been doing this for a few years, mm-hmm. talking to me as a business owner, what would you tell me? Does it really make a difference how I run my business? Does it really make a difference how organized I am? My loss control, my safety, does it really make a difference to you? Does it save me money?
Absolutely. If you do all the right steps and you take the advice of your broker and get a good broker, because there's a lot of them out there, and, you know, do your homework on that, make some calls, ask your friends who they got, that kind of thing. You don't want to be the best thing is to work with that person and see what kind of suggestions they have for you. If it's a return to work program, if it's I'm drawing a blank right now, but just anything that could possibly help that underwriter feel good about an account, especially if you're in a tougher class. If you are a manufacturer and you're doing a higher hazard type of product, you want to have the good controls in place where you know, okay, this is one of the better ones of this class of business, and you feel comfortable with it, and you can give a good price and do a good job for them.
Chad, I think you're going to owe him a steak dinner and some champagne, because it comes back to the other theme throughout all our podcasts, and it is all about making the agency, the broker, you in this case, a business partner. And including you in the discussions. Here's where I am. Here's my real estate. Here's where I'm housed. Here's what I'm manufacturing. Here's what I'm doing. How can I do this better? How can I do this safer? How can I do this so that I control my premiums and my people don't get hurt? And I don't see how they can effectively do that unless you know an awful lot about the business and how it's being run.
Exactly. And hopefully, Tom, we've converted you a little bit to understand the underwriter isn't that bad of a guy, and that
I'm a good guy.
Oh, you haven't done it. You're still sitting in that dark room.
He is on your side, and that, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is again, and going back to it, and people are probably tired of hearing it at this particular point, you can control it, and you need to be open and honest. The time to discuss an issue is not after that claim has occurred, and like we talked about before, there's a gap because you didn't tell us a particular type of business or something in your business that you were doing. You know, just hope that your agent knows what they're doing for you, but lay it all out there. And if you get a confused look from your agent, there's a lot of them out there, you can always shift and move to somebody else.
Ed, I'm going to put you on the spot. We're coming down to the final stretch here.
Okay.
We did a podcast on errors and omissions insurance most recently, and that one's coming up, and it'll be posted soon.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you get involved in errors and omissions and take a look at that type of stuff as well?
Every once in a while, that rears its ugly head.
Here's where we're going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Would you write his E&O policy?
Why are you laughing, Ed?
You know what? Honestly, yeah. He Chad's a good guy.
Two steak dinners. Expensive.
I know. Let me tell you. No, there's. I came from a couple different markets. I've been in the Minneapolis market now for quite a while, and there's a few really good agents, more so here than in other areas I've been, and it's a great marketplace, and everybody listening, you got a lot to choose from, but Chad, of course, is the best, but, you know.
Three there.
Wow.
I only have $10 on me. I told you that before we walked in.
I know, but you know, there's a lot of good ones here, and I'd write his. Sure.
The bottom line is find an agency that's proactive, thorough, watches for those gaps, helps you run your business so that you can control your liability exposure.
Absolutely. A good agent that's got a lot of good markets and can get you the best product for the best price.
Chad, any closing thoughts? I thought I was going to have more fun picking on this underwriter, but it just falls off him like water off a duck.
Well, I don't know what else to say. I'm actually going through my wallet right now, and I do only have $10 on me, so sorry, Ed. Thank you very much. But
Well, we can get a Happy Meal somewhere.
Very fair enough.
Okay, last question, Ed. Is your office down in the basement? Dark? Eye shades, abacus.
Sadly, I'm gonna help you paint the picture. Yes, I actually work in a basement because I work out of my house. So, and sometimes when I don't turn the lights on there, it's dark. And
the insurance company doesn't even want you in the office.
No, they don't even want me in the office. They want me to work out of my house. So,
oh my goodness,
I know it. I'm that much of a detriment to the company.
Now Tom's happy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Paint the picture.
I've got the picture. Dark eye shades. The whole works. Probably got an HP. Instead of an abacus, but I'll give you that. Ed, you've been a great sport today. We're just about out of time. I'm Tom Lyons, here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Insurance Agencies for finding a willing underwriter with a personality and a good sense of humor to take the heat today. And Ed Chabot, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
On this edition of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.